Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, Suzanne Jackson, law by day, creative by night. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Welcome to our show today, Suzanne. I'm really excited for my audience to get to know you. You know that we start the show with a quote. Do you happen to have a passage you'd like to share?
I do, Lynette, and thank you for having me. My favorite quote is, the world needs dreamers, the world needs doers, but above all, the world needs dreamers who do.
I think that's really awesome. Can you tell me how you connect with that?
I connect with that because when I was a child, my mom used to always tell me, you can do anything you want to. Okay, I probably misunderstood and thought everything, which if you look at my life, that's what I've done. But I've always wanted to do so many different things, and I would think about things I wanted to do, and I'm like, you know what, I can do that. When I decided to go in the military, I thought to myself, you know, that sounds like a great life, traveling and being able to meet new people and do new things and not thinking about it, not sitting there pondering over it. Okay, let's go to a recruitment station and do this. And it turned out to be very good for me. I was stationed overseas. I met a lot of great people and I did a lot of great things and I got to serve the country. So I've always believed that if I dream of something that excites me, I should just step forward and do it.
And you know what's really funny about you bringing that quote up, which I've never heard that quote. And I know when you, before the call, you said, this is a quote I'd like to use. And you referenced a commercial at home because you live in Miami, Florida.
I do.
And you mentioned, what is the commercial that you saw?
I believe it's a Lowe's commercial about doers.
And, you know, just this morning, I had a conversation. And when I say this morning, it was 5:30 this morning. I couldn't sleep. I had a nightmare that one of the shows today, I kept thinking that I was checking my phone to hear the show in the morning, which is always the first thing I do to make sure it came up on iTunes and that it sounds good. And I kept thinking that I was checking the show and it actually wasn't loaded and wouldn't play right. It was garbled. And I really felt like I was doing this. It happened 3 times. And then I said, forget it. I'm just waking up. And so I was talking to my husband this morning. I said, I really feel like the more interviews I do, the more I'm seeing that there's wanters and there's doers in the world. And so there's people who say they want to do something, but they just don't do it. They never do it. And I was talking to him about buy-in and how you need to buy in and commit and execute and act. And so many people say they want something and they want to change their lives in whatever way, but then they don't do it. So tell listeners what your passion is and how it got started.
My passion has always been being creative. I learned at a very early age that that's not all it's going to take to be successful. So I decided to go to school and go to college, but throughout my whole life, my major in college was interior design, so I took fine arts classes. I paint all the time. I sing all the time. I write songs. I play instruments. And right now, I put all of that together into making and designing cakes. I laugh at it sometimes because I'm like, I can't believe I'm making cakes because I don't think anyone who knows me would think you are making cakes for a living. But it seems to me just another way to put my art and passion for design together.
And when you say for a living, by day, you're in law.
I am. I'm a lawyer by day, but I feel like the type of work that I do by day it's not so much besides the, of course, the money aspect, but I feel like that job is to help others. I mean, that's part of my passion. I'm helping others. And in that job, I get to do that all day. I almost feel like Batman. So during the day, I'm like this corporate person, very serious, but I get to help out the community and I get to help out people who have been wronged or some other thing. But at night, I'm just like home creating beauty, and not fighting crime.
Right. Yeah. Home creating beauty and not fighting crime. I love that. Right. That's excellent. And it's so creative. I mean, you really get to balance the two best things of life. You know, you're using your brain all day. And when you come home, you get to just kind of relax and create and not think so much.
And you're absolutely right. I think that, I don't know if you know, but not too long ago, my mom passed away.
Yes.
And one of the things, you know, I don't have children. I don't have a husband. I don't have a dog. I come home at night and I used to be very sad. I mean, I still am, but when I looked at my paintings and I listened to music, I was like, what else can I do to not only have some therapy for myself, but can also help me reawaken the creativity in me? Because I really was feeling like I wasn't doing what I could do as far as my potential for creativity. You know, one day my brother-in-law looked at a cake that my niece made, and interestingly enough, I had just started reading about making better cakes because I started to cook for my doorman, if that's funny.
You know you're lonely when.
I'm making desserts for the doorman.
These people must be very nice.
He's very nice, and he's very fat now. So, and my brother-in-law said, you know, something about the cake, and I was like, I can make that cake. And he's like, get out of here. And so I sat at home, I stared at it, and I just started painting, for lack of another word. And I was so proud. I drove it like 40 miles to their house, and I was like, ha, look, here's the cake. And they loved it. And it just so happened that I just kept doing it. The carving, the painting of the cakes, the icing, the learning how to make different icings. I mean, I started out with the creativity, the beauty, and then it became important to me, you know, that things taste good. And again, the doorman was involved because he got to be the guinea pig.
Something I really love that you said is how you use this kind of as a therapy. And I interviewed somebody by the name of Karen Newhall, and her show actually aired earlier this week. And so a couple of weeks before yours will air. And one of the things she did for therapy, but to get through a divorce, was she ended up training her border collies. And she ended up making a herding business out of that. And so I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. And she's so, just like you, I can hear your passion. And I know that you love it because I know how much time and effort. We're friends on Facebook. So I see the pictures you post. I remember when you did the very first one because it was like an oxymoron. Suzanne is making and baking and decorating cakes. And then she's working out to Jillian Michaels. And then she's doing insanity. I'm like, what is going on right now? So I thought that was really interesting. But I know that our audience members are, you know, everybody's going through whatever they're going through, whether it be divorce or loss of any kind. And they're looking to, you know, make their life more fulfilling. And so listening to your passion about how you just started decorating cakes, I mean, somebody else, you know, not just decorating, baking, but somebody else could say, you know, I'm going to go to Michael's tomorrow and I'm going to buy paints and I'm going to get canvas and I'm going to start painting. Why not?
Right. And yeah. I'm going to tell you, besides Michael's being my best friend, I really think that that's part of it. I stood in the cake decorating aisle and I thought to myself, this is like, you know, Disneyland for an adult. Mm-hmm. I get to buy all this interesting stuff and then just create. It's like having different types of brushes and different types of canvases. Only now I'm using an actual living thing, food. And it was very exciting.
I could see how that could be exciting. I mean, if you put me where there's any different kinds of colors or makeup, I mean, it's like kid in a candy store. I love it.
I think I meant to say that too, better than Disney World, kid in a candy store. But the funny thing about sweets and sweets, I couldn't connect it for some reason.
I think I was a little cliche there, just so you know. So let me ask you, though. You get this idea. You do the first cake. And I remember you posting a status saying, does anybody want a cake? Because I don't want to eat the cake. I just want to make cake. I want to practice doing cakes. So getting started, because this has moved on to a website. You have a Facebook page. And it's moved on to a paid, like a paying job here.
Yeah.
So did you have any challenges getting started and moving from one step to the other?
Okay. Well, ooh, my first challenge was...
Like, this sounds like it's going to get good.
The first challenge is I live in Miami. It's a very... It's a city, but a lot of people know each other. So everybody goes this place for cake, and everyone goes this place for cafe con leche.
For what?
That is coffee with milk.
Okay.
Yes. My first week in Miami, I learned how to say cafe con leche and colada. That would be coffee without milk. But everyone has a person they go to here. It might be a city, but it's one of those cities where everyone knows each other. So my first cakes were for my family. So I made this cake for my sister's birthday. Then I made a cake for my niece, my nephew's birthday. And then I said, you know, I want to get more experience doing this, so I really need to expand. And what's out there is Facebook. And I have quite a few friends on Facebook who live in the same community I do. So what I did was, because of course I can't sit around the house and just bake cakes for myself, because that would be detrimental to the whole Jillian Michaels thing.
And Jillian would be very upset with you.
Oh, she would come to my house for sure. So I put on Facebook that, look, I will make a cake for anyone's event, just charging people for the supplies.
Okay.
And that's what I put on Facebook. And you would think there was no one else around in the whole entire world to bake a cake. And okay, it was cheap because cake ingredients are not the most expensive thing in the world.
Right.
And so I started getting emails about making cakes, and I got emails from people at work that said they're doing a function at work, so could you bring a cake? And that's what happened. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, I'm spending like 40 hours at work or more and 20 hours making cake. It's time to start charging for my time.
Right.
And that's how it went from charging people for supplies to actually charging people for the cake. And I mean, I still don't have the pricing right, but I'm actually very happy that some people are stepping outside of their usual stores and their usual cake makers and giving me a chance. And that's been great, because I thought, because of the closeness of the community, that I would be barred, and I don't speak Spanish.
Oh, you know, I am sure that you have a really great mistake that you made to share with us.
Yes. All right, so as much as I love the decorating, the baking part is not my favorite.
Maybe you need a partner.
I do need a partner. I need a partner who likes to bake cakes. I like painting.
That'd be awesome.
But I started collecting recipes and trying different recipes. And my mom used to joke with me and say that whoever I married was going to be a guinea pig and not a husband, because I'd mix just things together and think it's going to come out food. And apparently you can't do that with cake. So you put in too much of one thing and the cake doesn't rise. You put in too little of another thing and you get a cake that you touch and it crumbles into dust. Mm. And well, that's challenging. I've had cakes that I'd lay fondant on top of, and it would just collapse. Like, oh, okay, so maybe we should have put some more pudding in there.
Right. So I'm sure you've learned a lot of lessons along the way. Trial and error. So you learned some lessons.
I've learned some lessons, and I've also learned what recipes to stick to and stop trying to be that great experimenter, because it might work for pot roast and it doesn't work for cake.
Good advice. Do not treat your cake like pot roast. Lesson number one from Suzanne Jackson. Okay, so you know, you start doing this, and I'm sure you probably had some doubts about your abilities and, you know, the direction. I mean, I know you're extremely confident. You are a confident person in general. And, you know, you have an attitude similar to my husband's, which totally is. I can do anything. Just give me enough time. But I'm sure. So I'm sure you knew that. But at what point did you say to yourself, you know, this is something that's great for me. This is what I should be doing right now.
It actually came fairly early. A fellow lawyer passed away, and we had a memorial service for him. And I was sitting in the planning committee, and, you know, they were teasing me because they're friends of mine on Facebook, too. They were teasing me about my cake journey, and they were like, "Ha, you should make a cake for this event. Oh, no, we know a person who makes cake, and I think they should make one for this event." I'm like, okay. And I remember thinking to myself, who was this person? When people come to this event, what about my cake is going to be special to relate to the person who we're memorializing?
Right.
And I put a lot of thought into it, and it was so important to me that it was perfect because this was a great person, a person loved by the whole community, a person who did justice for those who couldn't do it for themselves. And I wanted to make sure that what I was doing was honoring them correctly. So I put a lot of thought and a lot of time into it. And that's when I said to myself, you know what? The type of person I am, the seemingly talent that I have, will probably make people happy and at the same time give me that necessary therapy that I needed. And yeah. I just knew that it was the thing to do.
Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, during that process for you, it probably felt for you like, you know, if somebody was to invest their time and effort and energy in something that memorialized your mom, you know, what kind of, you know, what would you want if this was for your mom, you know? What kind of energy would you want put into a cake, or what kind of energy would you want to put into something that was so meaningful?
My mom was very sassy. I would hope that the person who created something to memorialize my mom would remember that she was a beautiful, glamorous, sassy person. So, you know, they wouldn't make some handbag cake for her, but they'd probably make some Statue of Liberty type cake with a little smirk on her face.
I feel like you've thought about this before.
I have thought about what types of cakes I would make for my mom. Yeah. But I would hope that the person who's thinking about something special for her would take as much time as I do when I think about making something special for someone else.
Right. And that's, you know, you are that kind of person, though. You give 100% in everything, and you're thoughtful. Very thoughtful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you tell me about, tell us about your favorite cake. What is the most favorite cake you've made?
My favorite cake, all of them have been fun and all of them have been detail oriented. But I have to tell you, my favorite cake is probably the second or third cake I made. It just so happened that my sister's birthday came within weeks of the first cake. And she went to New York and saw one of her favorite clothing designers and had her picture taken with him. So she posted this picture all over Facebook, and I think she forgot her husband was around ever, and she was in love with this photo. And I decided to make a cake for her birthday that featured her and her love for this designer. I got to tell you, it was Christian Louboutin, so you know the shoes are red on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so she takes this picture with him. So I'm able to go out, get the picture copied on a piece of sugar, and then I built a cake that represented some of her favorite shoes. So she has, you know, I put the red at the bottom of the cake. She has shoes that has the leopard on the side, so I put the leopard on the side. She has shoes with the peacock flower, the feather, and so I put the peacock around it. And when I got done with her picture on the very top with Mr. Louboutin, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is a great cake. And it actually was my favorite because She was surprised. She knew nothing about it. My brother-in-law was surprised because he was supposed to go out to dinner, but he waited until I brought this cake over. And she was truly, truly happy. And she got everything that I put on the cake. She understood it.
Right, right.
And that was my favorite cake.
That sounds like a fun cake. But see that, and even that, it was for your sister. And like I just said, you're just a very thoughtful person. And the fact that you could connect, you know, what you love doing now with your sister and surprise her and make her happy with it. I mean, that's really what passion is, I think, when we share it with others. And it's not work when we do it. We just love doing it.
Right.
What do you think you learned about yourself in this process?
I used to think I always knew I was very organized and put a lot of thought into things, but I never truly considered myself detail-oriented. And when I say that, I mean, when I'm at work, I look for details, but I always consider myself somebody who's better at the abstract painting than the portrait painting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in doing this, I realized that there is this part of myself who longs to be detail-oriented. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing these little pieces of the cake, I did a cake this weekend where it had canvas bags on it. And I could have easily just, you know, made a piece of fondant that looked like a bag, but I actually found some texture and rubbed the fondant in it so the bag would have texture on it. And that was actually their favorite part of the cake. And like I said, I always knew I was detail-oriented at work, but it never struck me exactly how detail-oriented I truly, truly am. Apparently, I'm a pain in the neck.
Those details, though, are what make what you're doing different and special than what other people are doing. It's when you pay attention to those special, different, unique, interesting details that it sets your work above what other people are doing, because so much today is just kind of rolled out, you know, without all of that thought put into it, I think.
No, and you're absolutely right. You know, somebody gives me a picture and says, can you make this cake? And I'm like, sure. And then, you know, they have a purse on the cake. And I'm like, look, your daughter's getting ready to go to this university. Why don't I put that logo on that purse? Sure. And then I created the inside of the cake so that when they cut it, the logo was inside the cake.
That's crazy.
And
that's crazy.
That's not something they asked for. But I thought, wouldn't that be special?
What a nice little ditty. Have you received any advice from anybody along the way, whether it has to do with cakes or just kind of, you know, reaching out and trying new things or anything that stayed with you along the way?
Well, I have a friend named Rosemary who lives in New York, and Rosemary makes cakes as well, and she designs cakes. I actually think Rosemary is a little annoyed with me because I became so good at it so quickly, but Rosemary told me what things to buy, what things I should have. She was very, very, very supportive. And I'll tell you, you know, a lot of the things that I've done in my life as far as going in, you know, quitting school and going into the military, coming back to school and then selling the house and going to law school, I get a lot of flack from it, from my family. Oh my God, I can't believe you're doing that. But I'm going to tell you, when I started making the cakes, I could not have asked for a better cheerleader than my sister. My sister helps me along the way. I mean, I call her my social media manager, because I would not be on Twitter or anything if it wasn't for Dawn.
Can she help me? I need a social media manager.
Oh my goodness, I'll text her a cake and I'll get a tweet back that says she has tweeted. And I'm like, really? But, you know, I started out by saying my mom told me that I can do anything. She told me that from childhood, and I always, always believed it. And thank goodness I have always believed it, because I've done some pretty difficult things, and there's never been that thought in my head, maybe you shouldn't. And I mean, maybe that's not the best thing, but I think that helps me work harder because she told me I could do anything.
You know, in pretty much every episode, we can't help but acknowledge that life is this process. Now, you and I have a lot of similarities. I've done a lot of different things in my life too. My family has also given me flack, you know, about, geez, now you're going to get your master's in creative writing. Now she's writing novels. Before she was doing karaoke. Now she's a teacher. Now she's a podcaster. But I believe that you have to connect all of these dots to your life and that they converge and push you. It's, you know, it's waves. It's like, okay, now all of this builds me up to do this. Am I stopping here?
Right.
No. And you know what? It takes time for our families to just get used to that's who we are. I'm really grateful that my husband knows when it's time for me to move on now. It's really pretty amazing. He's like, you know, you're done and you know, you're moving in this direction. So just accept it because it's time. I can see it happening. We've been married for almost 28 years now.
Wow. I can't believe it's been that long. And it's fantastic to have someone that who is that supportive. It just really is because, you know, you can strive for all the things you want in the world, but if someone's always telling you, you can't do it or you shouldn't do it, or you don't have money to do it, or it's not the right time to do it, you might do it anyway, but it still doesn't have the same feeling as when someone's like, do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
That's a really great thought. It's so true. All right. Are there any books that you can share with our audience that would be helpful to them?
Look, I've never been a really big how-to reader. I think that's one of my problems. I don't think I would sit on any of my furniture from IKEA because I don't read the instructions. But I don't know what all these extra screws are, but whatever. My TV's sitting up straight. The thing is, I went to law school. Once I went to law school, I realized that reading is something I'd like to do solely for entertainment. And I have three different moods that I kind of get into when, you know, when I need a little bit of inspiration. You know, it might be cliche, but I do read the Bible. And it's awful. I actually Google how I feel and to find out what passage of the Bible I should read. I think that the Bible has...
That's really interesting, though. I didn't know you could do that.
Okay. Yes, you can.
I just learned something amazing about the Bible during a cake decorating show.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you can do that. And then Stephen King is my all-time favorite author in the whole world. I own every single one of his books in hardback. They're the only ones I display on my book rack. Everything else is behind them. And when I want some fun or I want some adventure or if I want to just, you know, leave the place for a few hours, I read a Stephen King book.
Hang on. Stephen King is fun. Stephen King is scary. If you're in law, okay. If you are in law, Stephen King is fun and adventurous.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're me, it's horror and scary. Cujo. One word, Cujo.
Okay, I need you to read the book Eye of the Dragon.
Okay.
And you will find it to be extremely mystical and adventurous. It is not a horror book.
Okay.
Try it.
I trust you. I'll try it.
Now, when I'm feeling in the mood to read stuff about work or to ground myself, I read John Grisham and James Patterson. I love their books.
I have to say, I'm a John Grisham fan. Also, David Baldacci.
Oh, I keep hearing about him, but I haven't finished all my James Pattersons yet. So,
okay, what about any kind of internet resource, like something people, when you're doing your cakes, do you go online and look for anything?
Oh, yes, ma'am. YouTube is my best friend.
What do you find there?
Everything. Say that I want to know, figure out how to do a certain border on a cake. I Google the type of tip that I have or the type of border that it looks like, you know, how to create a shell border. A million things come up, but then you have all of these cake decorators who have YouTube subscriptions. And they have channels, and I go on there, and I watch it over and over and over. And then I practice on, you know, a piece of board, and I'm like, yeah, I know how to do this. You know, there's a lot of courses like Craftsy and websites where you can buy cake classes, and I've done a couple of those for the more difficult things.
What is the name of that?
Craftsy is Craftsy.
Okay.
And it's a website with blogs and pictures of cakes, but mostly they have people who've won like cake contests and design contests who have videos on how to do certain things with cakes. And occasionally I might buy one of those classes for like $20 just so I'll know this very detailed technique, because those are, they're professional, so the lighting's right and they show different angles, whereas the YouTube ones are, you know, they're not as detail oriented.
And I'm assuming that these classes do not count as professional development for work. Just guessing.
The day job or the night job?
No, for the day job. For law.
My boss at my day job loves that I make cakes. He has been the recipient of a couple, but he does realize that it makes me happier during the day. So professional development, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so here is the part of the show where I'm going to ask you the three most important questions, because I believe when people try something new and add a passion to their life, when they incorporate that, they have three main steps. And the first thing is to envision what they want to do, then explore it, and then execute a plan. So if I was to say to you, somebody wants to get into cake decorating, how can they envision this for themselves? What should they be able to see first?
What they should see is whether or not they believe they can be creative. And if they do have the time that it takes to do it. And what I would do, I'm telling you, Lynette, walk into Michael's and stand in the cake aisle.
I think you just moved on to explore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So we're going to explore in Michael's. Go ahead.
I go to Michael's and you look around, and if it feels like that candy store to you, you're in the right place, and I believe you can do it.
So to execute.
Execute.
Fill your
buy
cart.
Some of that stuff. Fill your cart. And you know what, though? The answer to all three of your questions, envision, explore, and execute, I have to tell you, it's simply believe is just the answer to all of those things. Because I told you, the whole dreamers and doers thing, I really believe that. I truly believe that there's a lot of things that I would not have done in my life if I just didn't believe in myself and the fact that I could do those things. I mean, who quits their advertising job to go into law, to go to law school? Who decides one day, I'm going to go to the military and does that? Crazy people maybe, but also someone who believes in the fact that they can do something. And yeah, I could probably be at home doing some other things instead of being up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning decorating a cake. But I believe that this is something that's not only good for me, but has the opportunity to allow me to create something beautiful. And I truly believed that I could do it. So I did.
Right. Which is awesome. And the thing is, Suzanne, that so many people don't, like, even if they believe they can do it, they just kind of don't know how to move forward with it, you know? And that's what I was saying this morning to John about the difference between wanters and doers. Like, if I believe I can do it and I want to do it, what's going to push me to do it? And I feel like if you slip yourself into that role and you just see it for yourself, I could see myself making this cake. I could see myself. And then you're like, okay, let me explore. Where are the materials? What do I need to do it? Do I have the pans I need? Do I, you know, have the tips for the icing that I need? And all those different things. What does that look like? You know, what kinds of things do I need? And then how do I make my first cake? You know, so I think all of that is so important, but absolutely belief in yourself. And like you said, having, you know, even a friend or a spouse or a family member who supports what you're doing and it finds it interesting is always helpful.
Well, look, it wasn't hard to get support for eating test cakes.
What is the doorman's name?
His name is Larry.
Hi, Larry. In case you listen to the show, I'm very jealous because I wish I was in Miami. I would be tasting cakes too.
I actually don't even live there anymore. I just moved a month ago, and I started making cake pops. So Monday, I drove down to my old building and bought Larry cake pops. I was like, taste these. So I don't live there anymore, but Larry still gets them.
Oh, that's so nice. I saw the picture you posted about the cake pops, And the question was now to figure out how to keep all sides round or something like that.
Oh, talk about a challenge. I had never had a cake pop before. And someone said, look, at the end of the month, I want some cake pops. And I was like, okay. So I did what I do. I go online and I start researching. And I'm like, oh, this looks like easy. Well, you roll things into a ball, put them on a stick, dunk them in some chocolate, done. Okay, so my cake pops were like the size of footballs, which don't stay on a stick. And then they were the size of meatballs, which also don't stay on a stick. And then I was like, okay. So I started reading some more. I'm a terrible researcher. All I do is research. I'll read something for like 5 hours, and then it'll be something that takes me 5 minutes to do. And I finally understood how to make the cake pops round and how big they're supposed to be. You cannot put a football on a lollipop stick.
Good to know.
That's my advice for you.
Lesson number two. Lesson number two, no footballs on lollipop sticks.
My sister's just going to be happy that I made a sports reference.
All right. So listen, I believe life is a process, like we said. And I also believe that we can, you know, push ourselves in directions. We can create it in our mind and we achieve it. So what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now?
Oh, 5 years from now. Well, Lynette, I'm going to tell you, I went to law school when I was 40. I am no longer 40. I told my mom that if I didn't like being a lawyer at 50, I would go to medical school. She didn't find that particularly amusing, which is okay because I do like being a lawyer. 5 years from now, when I'm 55, I have to tell you that I really, really enjoy my day job. What I would like is still have my day job, but I would like to be able to create cakes more often. I really would like to be that person who's the go-to person for certain things. And so I guess if I think about it, what I'd like to do is have a more focused cake business. Because right now, anything anyone gives me, I make because it's so exciting to me and it's a challenge to try different things and see if I can do them. But I think in the coming, as it gets further along, I would like to focus so that I could specialize in something so that people know where to go for this thing that they need. So, I think that would be important for me.
So what you're basically saying is over the next 5 years, you want to narrow down your niche.
That's correct. So I want to find a niche.
Yeah. So right now you've been experimenting. You've been experimenting in all different areas. But let's say, for example, I saw that somebody posted an amazing cake that was a wedding dress.
Oh, so, goodness gracious.
Yes. But let's say wedding cakes of that variety, let's say a bride wedding cake became your niche. That's kind of what you mean.
Right, exactly.
Lesson number three will not be that bride gown cake.
No, goodness gracious, no. I wouldn't even know how to begin to transport that thing. Right. I mean, it's almost like you'd have to make it where you're baking it, or bake it where you're making it.
Well, I've heard fake it until you make it, and your website name is
Cake It Till You Make It.
So it seems to work. It seems to work.
But yeah, that's definitely where I see it. I really would like to develop a niche and focus because I think that's where the passion would be. I think that's where I wouldn't be doing so much stuff that I'm staying up every night till 1 o'clock in the morning, but I'm focusing on something and making that really, really good.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good direction. So what closing advice can you give our audience?
The advice I would give is probably the same thing I've probably been saying the whole time. Look, don't let someone tell you you can't do something. I mean, to make more cliches, you're only limited to me into your imagination and what your mind can conceive. I actually joke with my sister, did you ever think I would make money baking? She's like, no. And, you know, there's been many times in my life someone would tell me, you shouldn't do that, don't do that, I don't think that's a good idea. And I'm going to tell you that I've never listened. So I won't say it's led me on the clearest, straightest path, or I never made any mistakes, or, you know, everything's been beautiful, straight path. But the only limits I've ever set on myself is what I tell myself. And I really think that if people do that, they'll be much happier and they'll be able to spread their wings much further.
And your path has not been a boring one.
It has not been boring.
I can't be boring. Somebody posted a picture on Facebook the other day and it was, you know, the beach shot with the flip-flops and it said, you know, this is all I need, sand, sun, and beach and flip-flops. And I love the beach, don't get me wrong. And the person, you know, commented on it and said, that's all I need. And I thought, yeah, that is nice because I've been working really hard. But then I thought, if you put me there on that beach, I would find some way to work 15 hours a day at something.
I would have the biggest sandcastle.
Exactly. I'd be counting shells and construct. I'd have everybody on the beach doing something. It's ridiculous. I have a sickness.
I don't even dream of those things. I live a mile from the beach. I don't even dream of those things because I know that that is not me. Right. I don't even know what retirement's going to be like, but that's not me. Flip-flops on the beach.
You're never going to retire.
I'm building a sandcastle cake.
Yes, sandcastle cake. You're never going to retire. I don't see it ever happening. You'll be doing something forever and ever. So give everybody your contact information so they can check out your cakes. And I am going to make you a part of our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System group so people can reach out to you through there as well. But where can they see your work?
They can see my work on my Facebook page, which is Cake It Till Ya Make It. And the U is Y-A. It's Ya Make It. I also am putting together a website. It's www.cakeittillyamakeit.com. That's not finished yet, but I get involved in something and it's got to be very beautiful. So I've been staring at that. And my email address is Suzanne@cakeittillyamakeit.com. And I'd be more than happy to talk to people. It's something I really like doing. In my job, I teach other lawyers. So I really like doing that. And wow, it's been really great talking to you.
Yes, you too. And just so you know, I'm going to make sure to include all of your contact information in the show notes on our website, Motivate
Me. Oh, okay.
Yeah, motivatemepodcast.com. So it'll have all of your information there as well. But it has been really nice talking to you. It's been so long since we've actually heard each other's voices. And I just know what a passionate person you are. And watching you evolve into this baker that you've become, I just knew that you would be perfect to share your story with the listeners here today.
Thank you very much, Lynette. It's been nothing short of a pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks.
And I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. And I really wish you all the best of luck in this. If I was going to be interviewed by anyone, it would be you again.
Oh, thank you. Okay, audience. So let's talk about your go-do for today. You know, I've never outgrown the feeling that some people look at me as if I am still too young, too old, not smart enough, not fit enough, or just a woman. But I use that to my advantage now. I use that to select who I choose to surround myself with, seeking out the strong and the supportive. And I use it to gauge where others are in their evolution, their life process, so that I don't hold it against them. Consider this. If you had complete belief in yourself, how much less would you judge others? Journal about it and post your ideas on our Facebook community page. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.